the Heart is a Dungeon is a TTRPG adventure focused on loss, healing, mourning, and joy. Not all subjects are suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Fly away with me, my dear. Come soar the cloudy skies. There's no cause to fear, my dear. You've still got both your eyes. Perhaps we'll find some sparkle. Oh, just say the word. Now weep and wail at my sad tale of Lala the witch's bird. We see the sky. Not as it is for most of us, as a ceiling, a halo, a crown, but through the eyes of one with wings. We see air currents pushing their way through invisible dips and dangers. We see a stretched out region, reduced to lines on a living and organic map. Lala, as you are flying through the air today with so many things to do, what do we see when we see Lala?
So you see a corvid with glossy feathers, a yellow nape. Soaring is a strong word. I think lazily gliding. The eyes are very keen. They're focused. They're scanning the surroundings.
And as we watch, our montage is one of errands. We see on one of your shapely bird calves, there's multiple little scrolls lined up. As you are out and about delivering these things, the little credits would go by. It'd be whatever La La Lemon's theme song is as we see you soaring through this valley. First, you stop by a small cafe in the town of Cottage to deliver one of these scrolls, but alas, the person is no longer alive, and you peck furiously at one of the workers to escape.
Excuse me?
You head to a lighthouse next, and once again, frustrating as no one is there. You may see a body floating in the water. Can't be sure from these heights.
Your best, but you just need to let me go.
So, disappointed, you head home. At least, you're home for now, in a tall, dark tower, and the magician, Philip the Stone, who you've been serving for a short time. As you land on the windowsill, your wings extinguish a candle left lit, and the tower becomes darker. But all is still visible as Philip makes his way to you, disappointed at seeing that none of the messages have been delivered. Again, you couldn't find any of them.
Look, it's not my problem, okay?
All right. We'll file them away. There'll be more soon. I'm already writing up one now. It involves your friend Bellflower, actually.
Do I still get a cigarette?
A winded bird is a troubled bird.
You don't even care about my health.
I'll go finish that scroll take a nap, if you will. It'll be done soon, and then you can go see your friend and stop blowing out my candles.
Yeah, play date. And then I extinguish the candle.
I want more.
Describe your La La Lemon's pad, your bachelor nest, your space.
Very bird-like. Like, I've got the... There's lots of knickknacks scattered about. Almost like I'm nesting, I guess. There's also lots of anti-bird architecture around to keep other birds away.
Amazing.
All in all, it's pretty cozy. Yeah, with all the spikes, there's some blankets, there's some straw. There are shiny things scattered about, but the really nice shiny things are in a little treasure chest, a crow-sized treasure chest that I have.
I would also probably imagine that this roost of sorts has a window probably somewhere near it, so your smoke can air out, but you can also see into the night.
It's needlessly gaudy. It's stained glass.
Has that strange cathedral almost pointed at the top shape, and you just watch a very beautiful full moon night. It's rising epic and center in the window. There's a reason they put the window here. Smoking your bird tobacco as Philip the Stone finishes up a scroll. Once you're done taking your 10, as the union promised and assures you, you get each shift. You go down, and Philip's standing there with the scroll. He's taken the ones that were already off your legs. All right, well, I'll have more for you tomorrow, but the night's your own.
All right, yeah, Lala, without a word, takes off.
Through the sky, once again, you look down on your region for now, this strange little place that almost has a foot in the fairy realm and a foot in the mortal. Rumors say there's many entrances in this region to the fairy realm, so much so that it's fairly common to see those magical creatures out and about. The town of Cottage is here, which is lovely, not far from the sea, where there's a lighthouse and then the dark wood, and it's just a very fairy tale picturesque region as you fly through the moonlight with a little bit of coughing and the little smoke burst still coming out of your lungs behind you like a choo-choo train. And you come to a beautiful magnolia tree, easy to spot from these heights.
Lying down into the magnolia tree, it does have a round little door that is propped open, and there is kind of cheery light coming from it. And you swoop in, and it is clearly a house, but it's also clearly a vacation home. There's not a lot of, say, personal things or practical things. There's just really like a bed and some cupboards, and everything's kind of bare, except for the fact that there are baskets and crates and stacks of so many different types of plants and flowers and packets of seeds and bouquets drying in the rafters. And it's almost like someone has taken what was a cheerful little home in a tree and made it more of a storage unit. You see at the tiny table, sorting seeds into baskets, you see Bellflower. She is a very small fairy woman. She is bright purple. Purple everything. Purple hair, purple skin, purple eyes. She is wearing a darker purple balloon flower hat, so it's kind of square with the edges curled up with the petals. She's gently glittering and glowing. She's probably smaller than you, actually, if you're a full-sized raven. And she's just doing her work and sorting and kind of humming to herself. And she has a little cup of tea next to her that's been cold for a long time. And she just kind of forgot about it.
When Lala lands, because Bellflower is probably smaller than a full-grown raven, Lala adjusts his size So now he's more of a crow instead of a raven.
Yeah.
What's that fluttering in here?
It is I, Lala, from the east. Ka. Here's a letter.
La, is that you? I haven't seen you in two shakes of a raven's tail, huh? Get over here.
Lala shakes his tail.
She doesn't even wait for you to get over there. She springs up and she has little glimmering, almost dragonfly-like wings. And she zips over, hugs you very lightly.
I think before the hug, Lala takes out a cigarette and puts it out so he doesn't get any smoke on you or anything. He swallows the cigarette. And he hugs back.
She just zips over, leaving a trail of glitter in the air, and hugs you, and just flies back a bit and is like, how's my third favorite bird doing? Come on in.
I was fourth last time. Who died?
Well, that hasn't been released to the newspapers yet, so you'll have to wait. Find out.
I'm delivering newspapers tomorrow. I don't want to wait.
Nobody died. You know that cardinal. You know the one.
Do I ever.
I just got tired of his nonsense, you know? You've helped people and you help people for so long, and then they just don't change their ways. And I just said, that's it. You're my fourth favorite bird now. So nobody died.
A little disappointing.
The relationships of birds can be a foul affair. As you unroll the letter that, don't thumbs down me. As you unroll the letter that has arrived, it is from Philip the Stone, responding to an inquiry you had on modes of flight or chemicals or magics that could be useful in such an operation. And he directed you to a few different places, but the most prominent would be a miner of sorts that would have access to a lot of different chemicals and dusts and powders that could be useful in trying to attempt flight. An old man named Hockle.
Right, I knew good old Philip the Stone would know something. Okay. Hockle.
Boo.
He's just winging it.
Boo.
Bellflower, ignoring that, she reaches into what looks like just another basket of flowers, and she reaches in really deep, and she pulls out a long blue piece of paper, and on that same table, kind of very quickly scooting her seeds over, she unrolls it. You've seen this before, or different versions of this, but it is a very crude, scribbled in gel pen, like, engineering diagram for what, if you squint, might look like a hot air balloon. She pulls it out and she rereads what Philip wrote. She's like, all right, so I worked on this all last season. I was just thinking about it and thinking about it. And I know something eternally on fire would be a little dangerous, you know, for at least the mortal folks and you animal folks, you know, not me. But, you know, I want this to work for everybody or anyone who wants to use it. So if there's something a little more containable, you know, it could actually work this time.
I feel like I've heard that so many times before, and I am here for it. Let's try.
I knew writing that wizard was a good idea. You know, other wizards don't answer me. You know, you send letters and letters and letters, and then just, I guess they're just busy. But I knew Philip wasn't busy. So, yeah, Hockle. All right. So we'll go talk to him, see what he's got to say, and see what kind of concoctions he's got.
It's a clear night with scattered clouds as you fly over the region in those secret paths and currents meant only for winged creatures. How would you say your flying styles differ?
Lemon, as I mentioned at the start, is a very lazy glider, probably from the smoking.
A, being a pixie, and B, having dragonfly wings, it's almost angular, like flying in a straight line and then down and straight up, 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 up. It's a bit more erratic flying and leaving these like straight lines of glitter behind her, and she is gently glowing purple in the moonlight.
You begin to descend down to what looks like a little grove near a crossroads of a bunch of trails of sorts. A large campfire, as though it was already made ahead of time. You come down, you see a large fire, you see a few figures around talking around it, and not too far from the glow of it, the dot on your map is one sleeping form underneath a pine tree on like a little mat.
Yeah, I think we both land. You probably hop, and I definitely like twirl my way over there. And we're gonna wake this guy up. Greet them with honest pleasure. And when I do that, any grudge, grievance, or unfinished business between you vanishes. I got an 8. I think he's asleep. We have hopped and twirled up. I reach into my bag and pull out their seed pods, but through my magic, they've been like silvered, so they've become bells. And he's asleep, but I just gently jingle it, almost like an alarm.
His eyes open and suddenly, oh, I'm sorry, was I sleeping in your way? I can move.
Oh no, Mr. Hockle. We were actually—
You know my name?
Yes.
Oh wow.
Mr. Hockle, I'm so happy to see you this evening. No offense, I'm so sorry you were sleeping. I was hoping to catch you before you turned in for the evening.
I was a little tired from being on the road today. I probably could have stayed up around the fire a bit more, but these old legs.
Oh, I'm sure. And I kind of hop up on one of the tree roots that are kind of curving around us, because I'm very small, so just so I'm now like eye level with him.
But what can I do for you both this evening? I'm sorry my office isn't more put together. I'm in transit, you see.
We'd heard of your skills and services, and I personally could use your expertise.
Sits out, pulls out a little corn cob pipe, crisscross applesauce. All right, well, what can I do for you? Is it about your bird friend here?
And I look like I forgot Lala was here.
Rude. I know what you were thinking.
It's been brought to my attention that you are a miner of much skill who has much knowledge of many powders and stones and concoctions.
All the, like, dark chemical dust and stuff he just tends to hold on his body gathers on his cheeks in, like, a minor version of a blush before dissipating again. Well, that is an honor to have my reputation precede me so. I stumble into things from time to time. By stumble into, I mean I dig. Yeah, I'm a miner. That's a bad joke.
Oh,
it's a good joke.
No, it's not.
Are you two looking to get into mining yourselves? I've never had an operation that small, to be honest.
Not mining per se, more the end results. I am a bit of a designer and inventor myself, and I kind of flutter up, so I'm flying. I say, I'm very interested in the mechanical conventions of flight, because unfortunately not everyone was blessed with this honor. But see, I think everyone deserves to fly. And I think there's a way to do it with chemicals and heat and materials.
I know what you're on to. You've been talking to the gnomes. I know exactly what you're looking for. He doesn't have a lot on him, but if you can imagine this form, this universe's form of a bag of holding, I guess. It looks more like a lunchbox that he does a little clip on and starts just pulling out vials like a Mary Poppins bag, digging through it, And he finds a couple little bags, like neither much larger than a nectarine or maybe a centaur eye. They're reasonable size. He's like, here's three components. If you mix these in different quantities, you'll get different levels of combustion. So I recommend testing outside, but safely, and in small amounts to begin with.
Yeah, Lala pecks at one of the vials.
He stares at you as though worlds are colliding, and you're lucky, because I just rolled a die. It appears that specific one needs to be mixed to have a reaction. You might want to be more careful with your boyfriend. I'm sorry, your bird friend. Are you all in a flock? Or are you in like a pixie coven? Or are you just, is this like a forbidden love across cities torn by war and strife? I love a good story.
Emotional support.
We're more business acquaintances.
So what's your offer for these sweet powders of mine?
I pull out a pair of socks, a pair of mittens, and a scarf. Because he's giving me three things, so I'm giving him a choice. And they look like, at a first glance, they look like very nice, like cashmere, like some very nice material. But if you look closer, they're actually made from flower petals that have just been so expertly knitted together. And they're very soft. And I carefully arrange these on the tree stump, and I say, I picked these myself and knitted them myself. They will always keep you warm and dry.
His eyes kind of tear up holding the socks. You'll see little brittle ankle bones poking out of minor boots as he looks upon true luxury. And he also looks at the scarf, but we'll say it's like awkwardly short for him being a full-grown human. And more as a joke, he just wraps it around Lemon. There you go. You can have that from me. Just the socks would be great. And, you know, the scarf from my new bird friend.
Wait. This was a gift.
Mr. Hockle kind of picks up the scarf and looks at it. It's a little too small and kind of chuckles and then drapes it over Lala. And for the tiniest moment, my eyes narrow. But then I look down at the vials of powders and liquids in my hands, and these are so much more important.
Yeah, it's mine. You're not getting it back. And now we know where his scarf comes from, yeah.
Yay. You know, you did accompany me here, and you did deliver me the information where I could find Mr. Hockle, so I wouldn't have been able to do this without you. So technically, you also deserve payment.
Mine.
And that's perfectly fair. And I'll take my gloves back. I just have my vials, and I'm, like, so excited. And I say, Mr. Hockle, this has been a wonderful exchange.
Are you sure you two don't want to start a mine? I mean, do either of you tend to go for sparkly things?
In response, Lala coughs up a small lemon brooch and then pins it to the scarf.
I got word of some of the most shiniest things in the land. I've got the map right here. I just don't know if I've got the years left in me.
Oh, well, I personally am already a shiny, sparkly thing, and I just kind of glitter and glow.
Indeed you are. Indeed you are.
Shiny, what kind of shiny?
The most shiniest thing you can imagine. All the shinies. All I really need for it is maybe a couple cigarettes. I'm trying to quit, but...
Lala coughs up some cigarettes. They're all different varieties. Some are joints. Some, there's a cigar in there. There's a thin cigarette. There's a cigarette that's on a cigarette holder. Like the long one, very Audrey Hepburn.
The only issue is, when you open this seal, you have to go get it now. That's why I have it closed, because I'm not ready yet. So you might want to save this for when you're ready to find the shiniest things you'll ever see.
Only half listening, Lala opens it.
Wait, Lala.
Peck, peck.
The page isn't blank, but it's not full. You just see the swirling, almost magical visage of these bright, bright, bright lights, and your body is starting to kind of move on its own a little, like you're looking at your wings flapping as an ancient spell begins to direct you towards the stars.
Bellflower, I don't like this. Bellflower.
You can't just be opening magical scrolls, Lala. And I'm like trying to grab your tail or your feet. I'm like trying to chase you.
And you're being pulled upward. Pixie on the bottom of your tail yanking, so little bursts of pixie dust are coming out. The smoke is rising up. If you come back from yards, it's a very little cinematic screen with the moon in the background, but your eyes are just glowing starlight. You can't not look at the stars, Lala. You opened the scroll and they are the shiniest things in the sky.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
Try to stop you, because I can feel you're being compelled by the magic, but I can't. I'm a little flower pixie. I don't even weigh as much as you, and I actually can't fly too high. It's too cold for me. And I'm trying to stay with you. I'm trying to stay with you and stop you and pull you down, and I get just weaker and weaker, and I can't. And you keep flying higher and higher until.
Part of it too is Lala's greed is so magnetic that that's probably too much strength for Bellflower to try and match as well. Like, friendship's good, but shiny things are better.
And you're reaching the moment where Bellflower will have to let go or be forced to let go. A few moments beyond that is where, to some extent, Lala would be forced to let go of something. The air gets thin, the air gets cold. Suddenly, in that frozen moment in time before you're either going to separate forever or stay together forever, a little piff of shadow right next to you both. And you see a sharp little dressed frog figure laying on his hand as though he's lounging on the grass, but just floating there in front of you both.
Well, this looks like a problem.
The only problem I see is you're trying to stop me, Ka.
He's been ensorcelled. He's being compelled. I gotta stop him.
Let me see what I can do. And he starts going through like scrolls in his vest as he's floating up with you, very like zero gravity style.
Lala sheds his feathers to take human form. That's a 5. So on a miss, he only partly transformed. Lala in this moment looks like a were-raven. He's more humanoid. But he has a hunch in his back. His body is still covered in feathers. He still has these grotesque, sort of rotting wings. His eyes are green. He's got a clawed hand that's reaching up for the shiny stars.
I'm going to require absolute honesty from Bellflower in this moment. Would she hold on?
No. Just the stress of this flight and trying to help you. I think the power of your transformation, the shock of it mixed with her being exhausted, I think you just fling her off. And you don't even mean to, but again, stars are brighter than friendship.
Stars are brighter than friendship. It all slows down. The transformation, the feathers out of skin and bone. But as the time freezes, the frogman, frog prince, who knows, he seems gentlemanly, he's leaning right next to Bellflower. So, I could probably help your friend if you're willing to make me a little deal.
Deals and conniving and chicanery?
No, hear me out. You won't have to do anything. Just accept this deal for a favor, but tell your friend that they owe it. They won't even know better.
I kick him in his face.
Give me a waylay someone.
my tiny foot in my tiny flower slipper heel for a resounding four.
So you attempt to strike out at this gentlemanly frog prince, and you don't hit him, but you are hit by something as the energy bounces back, just stunning you for a moment, almost like a defense mechanism. But right next to Lala, Frogman laying on his side being like, "Looks like your friend's gonna die. Air looks too thin, look at him. They're suffocating. I could probably help him out if you're willing to owe me a favor." He's saying this to Lala. Now, while you're stunned.
Ah, oh, shoot.
You're just gonna leave him to die?
I will weather the storm. I have plus one. That's a 9.
Beautiful. So on a 7-9 to hit, choose 1 or 2.
Yes. So, I provide strength and protection to those around me. Briefly, Lala snaps out of it and returns to his bird form and looks at the frog and says, "I accept your deal." And he pecks at Bellflower, providing some sort of magical orb to protect her.
It's not mine as much as I represent. Don't worry about it, just X right here. You'll get a walnut in the mail.
He signs with his claw, his talon. Just, he scratches it once with his talon.
Scroll disappears in a little poof of swamp mist and fog. You can smell lily pads. And he just tips a hat at you. "Pleasure to meet you," and he's gone, suddenly sounding like Hockle. You both open eyes instantly, laying in a beautiful bed of moss, little flowers, little dragonflies protecting you, breathing little dragonfly fire, little mice guards holding their dandelion spears, just keeping you safe. I'm like,
"They're awake, we can go."
And they all scamper off. You would know the space. It's kind of an in-between your two homes. Like, you're not too far out of the way. You can even see Lala Lemon's tower in the distance, though it seems to be a lot brighter than normal. Much brighter than normal.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What happened? We were... You were dragging me up into the sky. I was trying to stop you. I don't... Something else happened? Lala, did you save me?
I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Oh, you just might be my second favorite bird now, and I jump up and hug you.
Yes.
And you know, I knew you could shake that spell. I knew it. I knew you could shake yourself out of it. And I'm kind of like brushing your feathers down, and I'm adjusting the scarf. Say, and you know, this just looks, this, it's almost like I made it for you, and I didn't even know. Looks perfect. Oh, but you can't go opening scrolls if you don't know what they are. Ooh. Maybe this was one of those, and then we all learned a lesson, and then we all went home kind of evenings.
Speaking of home, from this distance, Lala, you hear a little bit of a... And your tower in the not too far away vision glows a little brighter for a moment before returning to a certain level of brightness.
I don't like that.
Oh, maybe you should get on home to fill up the stone and see what's going on.
Lala pats Bellflower on the head with a wing. He takes off his little lemon brooch that he put on his scarf and drops it into Bellflower's hands and flies off towards the tower.
We follow Lala for a moment. Your tower, you can see easily as you rise into the sky. To the east and the west, to the east you see your tower glowing bright, filled with flame. And to the west you see the lighthouse glowing as steadily as it ever does. Your tower is brighter than it tonight. Many boats will crash tonight, following the glow of your burning home, thinking it was a sign of safety. As you approach, this stone tower looks gutted with flame. The stone itself has stood here for millennia. The stone will be fine. All the wood, the bookcases, the beds, the knickknacks, the treasures are going up in flame and look like they have been for a small amount of time.
I stare at the flames.
Lala, I need you to tell me, where are you open to me? Where are you vulnerable? And where are you guarded right now? As you watch the tower burn.
He is unguarded. He is fully vulnerable. He remembers the deal. He sees his home burning. He knows making a deal with another fae was a bad idea. And the vulnerability comes from his own stupidity and greed.
And sometimes we all lose our homes following dangers we mistake for bright lights. It just doesn't tend to happen this quickly. It appears you have to start over again, find another box to put things away in, find another nook to call your own. I'd say this isn't the first time that's happened. You've been here for quite some time.
He does not caw. He does not weep.
As we leave Lala Lemon there for a moment, possibly leaning in too close to light a cigarette on the flames of what once was home, we're going to bounce back to Bellflower to let them end their scene.
It's basically like she's tired. That was exhausting. Her friend almost made a very bad decision, but was able to, you know, pull through, and she knew he could do it, so she's like, goodness gracious. Oh. Every time I come through this town, something happens. That's why I never come here more than once a season. Goodness. Alright, and it's just her pulling out the big blueprints again. And carefully pulling out the vials and the powders and the liquids. She just lines them all up. She pulls out another notebook that she opens, and it's just full of math, but it's her math, so it's just gibberish to anyone else. She looks at the vials and she's like, this time it might work though. This time, you know what? It is gonna work. It's gonna work this time. All right. And she starts doing her equations and getting ready to experiment with these concoctions.
I, being the mistress of ceremonies, I'm not supposed to call for many rolls, but I am going to have you roll a when you vanish to narratively explain how your tests and test runs and processes go over a smaller, quick period of time.
Yes. It's a 7.
The first time you get this to work, it's not exactly what you'd expect. It does go up. It just goes very, very fast. But at one point you land, we'll say near the lighthouse on the other side of Cottage, and you're stuck on a little stone, almost like you've just crashed here, but lightly. You might have to do a few repairs and you can take it back up and try again. And as you look down, you start to see that this space is becoming overgrown. And wasn't there a keeper here? Wasn't there a family that lived here for a while? And no one's using it. The lighthouse could make a pretty nice lab. But I think by the next time you spend a little bit of time on this, you will have a hot air balloon of sorts that flies. And perhaps we'll see it again later down the story. Lala, who knows where you're going to go right now? We don't. We know where you'll end up, sooner or later, making your way from the town of Cottage with a feather-cloaked friend to a volcano of sorts, to a door of sorts, to a wagon of sorts, and a story. How are you feeling right now? Have you already shaken it off? Is Lala moved in these situations? Is it like water off a duck's heart? Or does it absorb a bit more than that?
It's water off a duck's heart. Lala is a fae. Lala's been around for a while. And Lala knows not to get too attached, even to shiny things.
Hey, I'm Rara. Thanks for listening to The Heart is a Dungeon, which is a TTRPG sad sack adventure for heroes and poets.
Hey there, I'm Jess. I am an artist and writer and TTRPG performer from Atlanta. I am art_fantastical on all social media. I am currently appearing in the first season of The Heart is a Dungeon, as well as numerous shows on the Ballad of the Seven Dice channel. And I'm currently appearing in the Graveyard Tapes spin-off show, Queen City Supers, which is a slice-of-life teen superhero drama about young superpowered people going to superhero trade school. So you can find me there.
It's so good. I'm like 6 episodes in.
I'm really glad you're enjoying it. It's very silly.
Mika, do you do stuff?
Yeah, I'm Mika, and I do things. Like hyper focus on the fact that my tongue is kind of dry and sticky, and I'm wondering if you can hear that noise during this episode.
Only in production.
Otherwise, hi, I am a Brazilian-American AP performer and content creator. I am the co-creator of the Role D5 channel, ROLED5, where we specialize in playing indie games. You can find me over there most often, or on Talking XP, where I am part of the Ravenloft Misfits cast, and where I run a Triangle Agency AP called Performance Review. You can find more of the things I do over on my Linktree, which is Mika McIntosh, all one word, MikaMcintosh.
Mika like the singer, McIntosh like the computer.
Minus the A.
Thanks for joining us.